Mother's Day is here again. When we try to make up for taking mom for granted all year long by giving her flowers or jewelry or taking her out for dinner to try to demonstrate our appreciation for the woman who, for many of us, is the single most influential person in our lives. Now, the title of my message today is The Challenge of a Godly Mother. And for some, Mother's Day can be challenging. You don't want to do the same old thing every year, right? You try to remember what you did last year so that you don't do the same thing this year. So you might change it up a little bit. Maybe you got her flowers last year, so maybe this year it'll be jewelry. Or maybe you took her out to one nice restaurant last year for dinner. Try to think of a different one this year. The challenge lies in keeping Mother's Day fresh and meaningful every second Sunday in May. Same can be said for preachers, too. Like Christmas and Easter, Mother's Day comes every year. And when you've been at a place for a number of years, it's a real challenge to find a new message for Mother's Day. And you don't want to hear Proverbs 31 every year, although we will look at a little bit of that today. But it is a bit of a challenge sometimes to keep it fresh. So this morning I'd like to turn to a passage that's probably not often thought of with regard to Mother's Day, but I think it speaks to our mothers in honoring them, but it also poses a challenge to us. And that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Some believe this was Paul's first letter that he wrote. I happen to believe it was second. I think Galatians was first. But this was certainly early on in his ministry. And Paul had gone through the city of Thessalonica. He was only able to be there 3 weeks before the Jewish people ran him out of town. But in that short time, he was able to establish a church. And shortly after he had to leave in haste, he wrote back to them to assure them that he wasn't abandoning them, that it was really not even his choice that he had to leave, but that he indeed cared for them. And in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, beginning in verse 6, we read, "We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted not only to share the gospel of God with you, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you." Here the apostle likens his ministry with the Thessalonians to a mother caring for her children. Now, if you keep reading in that chapter, you'll also see him comparing his ministry to a father dealing with his children. And guess what text we're going to hear in a few weeks when it comes to Father's Day? Nice how that works out sometimes. Now, in these few verses, Paul describes the characteristics of a godly mother, and then somewhat implied is a challenge of a godly mother that applies to us all. The first characteristic of a godly mother is that she is gentle. Notice he says in verse 6, "We were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children." Some of your Bibles might say like a nurse. And the literal Greek here is a nursing mother. We're talking about a very small child, a newborn. And what can newborns do for themselves? Not much. Cry. They're pretty good at that. It's about it. Mothers have to do everything for that small baby. Feeding them, clothing them, changing them, caring for them. Everything. That child is dependent upon them. Now, you can do that, those things, in a variety of ways. You can do it roughly. You can do it with the attitude of, I really don't feel like doing this, but I guess I will. But I don't know too many mothers that do that. Not with little babies of their own. There is a gentleness there. And I think somehow that's hardwired into your DNA. Because we men don't get it. We don't understand it. It's hard for us. Now, it is true, there are some guys that are great around little kids. But by and large, the ladies are much better at this than men. There's just something about them, and especially with a mother of a small child, there's just a gentleness that's there. Just think about the way you hold a baby, right? You can hand any woman any baby, and they immediately know how to hold it. I don't get it. I remember the first time I held a baby. It was probably my oldest brother's firstborn child. Little tiny baby. And I can remember I was so rigid and stiff, trying not to drop this thing. My arms and shoulder and neck started to cramp. You know, some guys hold them like a football running down the field, right? You know, we don't know what we're doing. But women do, especially moms. There is just a gentleness that is there. And Paul says that he and his companions, they weren't rough. They weren't insensitive to the Thessalonians. They were gentle, just like a nursing mother caring for her baby. You know, there's nothing selfish about a mother. Mothers are in a constant state of giving themselves to their children. And Paul was that way with these new believers. He cradled them. He nurtured them. He fed them. And he did it in a gentle spirit. He selflessly committed himself to understanding their hopes, their fears, so that he could meet their genuine needs. Paul had patience with these new believers. You know, children don't grow up instantly. Oh, I know it seems like they're here one minute and up here the next. But it takes time, and especially for a mom that's there every day, every day, every day. And kids don't always learn it the first time, do they? Sometimes they make the same mistake over again. Sometimes you've got to repeat those instructions, and you got to tell them how to do it more than once. It requires patience, and that's part of the gentleness that you see in a mother. A mother's gentleness is seen in another scripture text. Back in the Old Testament, the Lord says in Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Think back to your own childhood. You remember your mom's comforting words, her comforting touch? Maybe it was that wreck on your bike. You might have scraped up an arm or a leg. I remember for me, when I had the smaller bikes, the brakes were on the pedals. You know, if you just went backward on the pedals, it would apply the brake. Well, I remember my first bike that had hand brakes, right? And this particular bike, it was really fancy. It had a small front wheel and a bigger back wheel, and the handlebars came up and around, and the brakes were right there. I thought I was so cool. I got out on our street, and our street kind of went downhill a little bit from our house. And I got out there, and I'm riding along. I thought, I'm going to try out these brakes. I just jammed them all the way full, and that thing stopped on a dime, and I didn't. I was like a football going right through the goalpost. Bam, right into the street. We all had that, right? And who was there? Mom. Clean us up. That first broken heart, that our boyfriend or girlfriend dumps us and our heart's just shattered. Who's there? Mom. You lose the big game, especially those heartbreakers where you're only down by a run or two. It's really bad when you strike out and make the last out of the game. Who's there? Mom. Oh, Dad's there too. Dads are full of advice at that point, right? Keep your eye on the ball, son. Don't jam those brakes so hard. But Mom's there comforting, caring, gently. By the way, that's why moms get better Mother's Day gifts than Dad get on Father's Day. There's nothing that can ever take the place of a mother's gentleness or love. It's something a child can sense even before they can talk. In fact, I heard something this last week I don't remember hearing before. I'm sure I did. It struck me again new. A child recognizes the existence of its mother before it understands its existence of itself. Before a child is aware that they exist, they realize that their mother exists. That's how important a mother is in the life of that child. Mothers often regulate the emotional temperature of the home like a thermostat. Keep us from getting up too high or going down too low. Mothers are gentle. Second characteristic listed by Paul here is that a godly mother is giving. Notice he says in verse 7, "We loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." There's a lesson here for ministers especially. Paul didn't have an arm's length approach to his believers. They could get close to him. Some want to maintain a safe distance from those that they serve, but Paul got right into their lives with them, and he allowed them to get close to him. He didn't cling to a strictly professional relationship. He cared about these people. He loved them, and he let them know it. Love is essentially self-giving. I know a lot of people think that the opposite of love is hate. I disagree. I believe the opposite of love is selfishness, because there is nothing selfish about love. It is selfless. And it is always giving. John Stott points out, far from using them to minister to himself, Paul gave himself to minister to them. Just like a godly mother. Giving. And not just giving things. Not just giving money or stuff. Giving our very lives. And mothers invest their lives into their children. They're constantly giving on behalf of their children. Don't be fooled into thinking that working moms are just those who have jobs outside the home. I don't know of any mother, and especially mothers of small children, that aren't working. And those who are working outside the home and have small children are working all the more. Think of the description of the virtuous woman found in Proverbs 31. Beginning in verse 15, she gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. See, she has good taste. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. It's exhausting just reading that passage, let alone living it day in and day out as so many mothers do. Motherhood is hard work. And we should honor our mothers for the hard work they do, often without thanks, often without recognition. A godly mother is giving. And then thirdly, a godly mother is gracious. I take that from a phrase that's repeated here twice, once at the beginning of the passage and once at the end. Paul says, we could have been a burden to you as apostles. Meaning, we could have come in and said, hey, we're apostles. We expect to be treated in a certain way. We expect you to give this much. We expect these needs to be provided. We want you to serve us. But that's not how he did it. Later on in the passage, he says, so as not to be a burden to anyone. They worked hard themselves. Paul picked up his trade of tent making and supported himself while he was there because this was a brand new church. These were brand new believers. And instead of imposing on them, he worked hard for them, for their behalf. There's a graciousness there. And I know mothers have every right in the world to say, do you know what I've done for you? You know how long I was in labor for you? How much pain you put me through? You know how many nights I stayed up for you? Do you know how many meals I've cooked for you? How many times I've washed your clothes? I mean, moms would have every right in the world to bring all that stuff up and say, it's about time you did it for me. I've never heard a mom do that. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, it's just I haven't heard it. Godly mother does those things and doesn't even think about it. Sometime ask your mom, how many meals has she cooked? She's not keeping count. How many loads of laundry has she done? What do you mean, yesterday? Last week? No, all of them. No idea. Why? Because they're not keeping score. They're gracious. They do these things, and quite frankly, a godly mother doesn't even expect recognition. I'll bet most of you moms don't even understand all the fuss that's made on Mother's Day. Why? Because that's what we do. It's what mothers do. A godly mother is gracious. Now, I doubt that anybody would argue with these characteristics of a godly mother. Many of us recognize these traits in our own mothers and we appreciate them. This is the picture of a spirit-controlled mother, one who is exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. You say, wow, that sounds really good. About time for another Mother's Day sermon to be over, right? Not quite. In addition to praising the characteristics of a godly mother, this text also provides a challenge of a godly mother. And it's not just directed at women. Not only at mothers, nobody gets off the hook today. Now, the challenge is more implied than it is explicitly stated. It stems from the fact of who wrote these words. It was Paul the apostle. And he was not a mother. He wasn't even a woman. And yet, he can describe his ministry in terms of the characteristics of a godly mother. Therefore, this is an example that anybody can follow. Regardless of gender, regardless of whether you've had children or not, this is the challenge. We should be more like this. John Stott writes, it's a lovely thing that a man as tough and masculine as the Apostle Paul should have used a feminine metaphor here. Some Christian leaders have become both self-centered and autocratic. The more their authority is challenged, the more they assert it. We need to cultivate more in our pastoral ministry of the gentleness, love, and self-sacrifice of a mother. And I think it goes beyond pastors. I think we all should. In our homes, at the workplace, in our neighborhoods, at our schools, wherever we find ourselves, we can learn lessons on how to be a better person by looking at these characteristics of a godly mother. First, we should all be gentle. I don't know about you, but when I think of gentleness in a man, I think of the late Bob Ross. Remember the Joy of Painting, the PBS show? He'd get on there and he'd just, you know, kind of go like this and this and this, and his beautiful painting popped out. The whole time he's saying, anybody can do this. And I'm like, shut up. I know I can't. But it wasn't just his painting. It was his voice. Remember his voice? There were times, and I could watch that guy for hours, but there are times when I'd be watching him and I'm falling asleep because his voice was so gentle. It was so soothing. And even how he said things, when he would describe the gentle touch sometimes needed in his painting, he'd call it two hairs and some air is all you need to put these little wisps in. There was a real gentleness. And he was a former Air Force officer. I mean, it's not that he wasn't masculine or he wasn't a man, but there was still a gentleness, a gentle quality about him. I think, though, the greatest example of gentleness is found in our Savior. Jesus said in a passage we looked at last week, emphasizing a different part of the text in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Why? Because I am, what? Gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. If we want lessons in gentleness and humility, you need not look any further than Jesus. Go through the Gospels and notice how he dealt with all kinds of people. Men, women, young, old, even the little children that everybody else was saying, "Go on, go on, go on, get away." And Jesus said, "No, bring them in. I want them close to me." Didn't matter who they were, Jesus dealt with them in gentleness and in humility. And as Christians, we are called to be gentle. Not just moms, not just women, all of us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. There it is. That's the character that should be developed in our lives. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, 2, "Be completely humble and gentle." Isn't that interesting? The same two words Jesus used to describe himself. Be humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. He expands on that thought in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds all together in perfect unity." He talks about this like putting on clothes. And when you're getting dressed in the morning, put on these virtues. Wear gentleness. Everywhere you go, let it be evident to all. Secondly, we should all be giving. As I've emphasized time and time again, Christianity is all about love, and love is all about giving. It's not about getting, it's about giving. Even to the point of sacrifice. And you know, sacrifice is the exact opposite of selfishness. And selfishness is the exact opposite of love. Love is at times sacrificial. Moms know all about that. Whether it's sacrificing sleep, whether it's sacrificing time, whether it's developing a liking for burnt toast because nobody else will eat it and so you will. There's so many ways in which moms sacrifice. Little ways, and yet they make a big difference. Our lives ought to be marked by the same selfless, sacrificial giving that a godly mother exercises on a daily basis. Finally, we should be gracious. This isn't so much about what we do, but how we do it. When we do things for people, is it with an attitude of, all right, I've done it for you, now what are you going to do for me? You owe me now. I'm keeping track. I've done for you four times now. You owe. Your turn to come around. That's the opposite of graciousness. Graciousness doesn't keep score. Graciousness says, whenever I can meet a need, I'll do it. And if I have to do it 15 times without getting anything back, that's fine. Because that's not why I'm doing it. Rather than being a burden on others, we should do everything in humility. Not expecting praise, not expecting to be paid back. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll admit, many of us, and particularly men, we're doing pretty good with the growing in knowledge. I mean, you know, we study the Word. Yeah, we're growing in our knowledge, but how are we doing in the grace? Are we growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said elsewhere that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't grow in knowledge, because that is what Peter said. That shouldn't be the only thing we grow in. As we grow in grace, it's going to be very evident in how we interact with people, especially those who can't pay us back. I don't know of any mother of a young child that's taking care of it saying, you know, someday you're going to pay all this back. That's not even in their mind. And we should be gracious, not expecting anything in return. So for our moms today, we want to celebrate you. We want to celebrate all you've done, all you continue to do. We want to commend you on your gentleness, your giving, your graciousness. You truly reflect the character of Christ in these ways. And for all of us, let us take on the challenge of a godly mother. We can all become more giving, more gentle, more gracious, as we seek to become more like Jesus Christ. And for many of us, if you want a good example, we don't have to look any farther than dear old mom. We truly thank God for you in our lives, and we wish all of you a happy Mother's Day.